Peace, peace, family. Welcome back to the Black Abyss as we dive into the fearless children and their world of End Magic Nation. They are truly the magicians. They are truly the alchemists of their world. You know, this thing that we call fear is a separation from light. We are pure etheric light, and from this pure etheric light, you know, we are this pure love. We exist as pure love vibration. And the further we move away from light, it's the further we move away from love. And the further we move away from love, the more we get submerged and saturated in fear. And you know, this fear consumes us. However, what we must understand is that the fear is afraid of us. The fear is afraid of our light. Because as I said before, all things vibrate. Everything is consciousness. So fear itself, the only way for it to exist and to continue to have light is to feed on the low vibrational end of your light. So fear is afraid of our light. So as pure etheric beings, if we observe the state of children, they exist in this pure light until they leave these etheric wombs. And once they leave these wombs, outside energies emit on them, or we imprint fear indoctrination on their minds. Right? So let's see what's fascinating about children. Normally, when you walk into a room, a child would just smile because he understands that the love energy must pass through him before it passes through you, because they live in a pure state of love. So as you walk into the room, the child smiles, the energy passes through him. You smile back because now the energy passes through you. The thing that's fascinating about children, if you spank a child, the child will come back an hour later and say, "Mommy, I love you." But do you know why? Because he doesn't hold grudges. She doesn't hold grudges. They do not hold grudges. You know, if you tell a child, "Get dressed, let's go to Walmart," he'll put on his Spider-Man pajamas, a green pair of sneakers and an orange pair of sneakers. But do you know why? Because they have no self-judgment and they don't care what the world thinks about them. You see, I'll tell you another fascinating thing about children. They don't even know they're poor until you tell them they're poor. They have no idea or no awareness of that, right? So one thing about children is that they just do, right? They don't think. An adult thinks about what he wants to do. Should I start a business? Should I buy this house? Should I do this? Should I do that? A child just does. He starts climbing a tree. He starts painting his picture. He starts building his clubhouse, right? Because he does what he feels. They do what they feel, you know, right? So now, this is before fear indoctrination is introduced into their minds. They exist on this pure light, love, unity. You know. So now, a child, you know, says, "Mommy, I'm building a castle. This is my castle, and I'm slaying the dragon." Do you understand that the child believes they have something that does not exist? They truly believe that the cardboard box is a castle and that they are slaying the dragon. That is profound, that they can believe that these things truly exist even though they are not presently there. Now, this is the law of attraction. This is where we talk about magnetizing what we want, existing as if it's already there, because it is. You see, whatever we think of, the mind is already experiencing it. Because the mind is not confined to the body. Well, people say, "How can that be?" Because if you are thinking about cooking dinner tonight, the mind is going to say to you, I will share a projection of it with you at this very moment. The mind takes the projection of you cooking dinner tonight and it shows it to you, which is fascinating. right? So children are very phenomenal in the things they do. So now when you come around, you say, move those cardboard boxes. Now you change the awareness of the child and you imprint the fear indoctrination. Because the mind does not see the cardboard boxes, the mind sees what the child sees. Then the child goes into the kitchen and the child pours his own cereal. And he says, look, mommy, even though he's making a huge mess, you are supposed to say, what a phenomenal job you're doing. You just did all this by yourself. Amazing. And without you being aware of what you are doing, you imprint fear indoctrination on the child. One thing about children is that we are their first teachers in the home. And what happens is when we imprint certain fear indoctrinations on their mind, because the mind is basically, right, created from all the experiences that we are having here. So now when we imprint fear on their mind, they grow in awareness. These thoughts that are vibrations signature themselves into the emotional body. The emotional body then translate those thoughts as feelings, right? So those feelings now become real to the child. So now the mind confirms and the awareness of the child confirms that the feelings are real. So now a super ego develops that abuses the child through most of his life. So one of the most important things to a human being is their feelings. Every human being is trying to protect their feelings. So over time, children isolate their feelings, right? And they suppress these things that have happened to them, right? Narcissistic parents, verbal abuse, narcissistic images that other people have about them, narcissistic judgment. They too are in environments where their parents are the abusers, you know. So now this pure etheric light of love that's inside of them goes out. It goes dormant, it goes black. Right? Then the super ego sits in the seat of the child's emotional body. Then the child sits in the seat of the adult emotional body. And then if you observe adults, you can see that they are living out the fear that's been lost from the pure love light of the child. So we become afraid to live out our dreams. We become afraid to do the things that we desire, we love. We have to get validation from other people. If we want to love somebody, if we want to date somebody, we have to ask people what they think before we start a business. So now we're thinking, not knowing. So we have removed ourselves from the state of using our inner authority to validate our own thinking, our own feelings. Right? So now, if you pay attention to adults, most people say, well, these people are grown. How could they not know better? But what you are not aware of that or is that children are sitting in the seat of their emotional bodies. So adults lie like children and they behave and do things like children. They say, I cheated because you cheated. Right? They sit in the house for 4 days and sleep in different rooms and nobody will say, how can we resolve this? They will sit in the house and say, I'm not calling him. He's going to call me. I did nothing wrong. So you think that these are adults, but these are wounded children sitting there in their emotional bodies. And this is why people do not understand that children are the narcissists. And when you deal with children as narcissistic children, there's something about these two narcissistic children. Right? One who is given everything and one who is left to raise himself. They have a sense of entitlement, but the most important thing to them is their feelings. So if they feel like they've been disconnected from their parents and they cannot have a connection with their parents, then they will also isolate their feelings from the outside world. Because one child is always given everything he wanted, but he has no connection with his parents. He's been left to raise himself, you know? So you deal in the sense of the other child, right? Where affection comes about by being given everything, never being told no. So now you see the entitled narcissist, right? Undeveloped emotions in the adults. So the aim of narcissistic people are to do what? Protect their own feelings. Nobody else matters but them. Their feelings matter. They are doing nothing wrong and they are entitled to everything, you know. So this thing that we operate in, this lower degree of thinking, this lower degree or lower vibration of light has been lost inside of us. So how do we gain back this light? You know, if you walk into a building, someone will say, the lights are out, turn the power back on. Why would someone say turn the power back on? The reason why I say people say turn the power back on, right? Because light is equivalent to power. When you turn your light back on, when you turn your love back on, when you ignite the soul again, you have regained your power. And that's why people say turn the power back on, you know. So what happens in this healing process of healing the inner child is something we have to understand, right? About the conscious body. Once we have accepted that these things have happened to us, instead of saying, no, I'm strong, I'm better than this, I can do this, I can get through this, you have to reverse the idea and say, yes, I did deal with narcissistic abuse. Yes, I did deal with abusive parents. Yes, this did happen to me. What happens is now the emotional body becomes conscious that there is something needs repairing. It is like an antivirus that is aware that there is a virus and it goes after it. That's why they say in therapy, the first step is admitting you have a problem. That is a real reality. Once you recognize these things have happened to you, then the body is aware to release an antivirus. You know, you then begin to heal. It is the process now of returning the love back to yourself. It's the process of self-love and boundaries that is going to be created. It is the metamorphosis. It's the idea of becoming and rising out of the fire to become a powerful deity. This is where we have to come to. Accepting the abuse of our lives so that we can be able to merge ourselves with our inner child. You know, what you are seeking is seeking you, absolutely. So when you return to the inner child, you will understand you are returning back to the etheric love, the etheric light that you are. And then you will learn from the process of healing your own self, how to transmute other people's energy that they are trying to emit back to you. And where we are in our journey is always letting us know where we are in our journey. What exactly does that mean? That means if I try to trigger you, you will not emit back the same reflection, but you will take my energy, transmute it, right? And send love back my way, and send light back my way, and continue on with your day. So as we walk through our journey and begin to heal, ourselves will continue to teach us about ourselves. We are the fearless children. We are the eternal children. And we want to live eternally as children. And this is what Peter Pan was all about. It's about little lost boys who never grow up. But who are they lost to? They are only lost to us in the 3D world. And what does Peter say about Neverland? Peter says it's against the rules to grow up in Neverland. Peter also says every time a child breathes, an adult dies. Can you imagine such a reality? He says every time a child breathes, an adult dies. So when Peter goes to see Wendy, right, asks Peter, why are you crying? Peter said, because I cannot get my shadow to stick. Why is Peter trying to get his shadow to stick? Because in order for us to remain eternal children, we must merge with our shadow selves. We must merge with the worst part of ourselves to remain eternal children. Right? But Peter tells Wendy, in order for you to come with me where I am, you must leave everything behind. Not only must you leave everything behind, but you must think a happy thought. Can you believe that? A happy thought. Because it feels so good to be happy. A thought so happy that she can vibrate high. Vibrate so high that they could fly. So then Peter takes Wendy to Neverland, and Wendy asks Peter a very important question. She says, Peter, where are all the adults? Peter says, all the adults are pirates. We kill pirates. We stop the adults who are trying to kill our inner child. They are after our inner child. They are the ones imprinting the fear indoctrination on us. We have created a world where we can live in our imagination, in our imagination. We rule this world by thinking happy thoughts. Right? So imagine that reality. Children are truly fearless. So I urge you, family, return back to your inner child. Recognize what has happened to you is real so that you can release the antivirus in your body. Redirect self-love, boundaries, rise from the fire, right? And detach from everything that does not serve you. Thank you, family. We'll be back again to dive deep into the abyss of our subconscious, our emotional selves, to be able to master ourselves. Peace. Peace, peace, family. Welcome to Anchor. Welcome as we get ready to dive into the Black Abyss. The Black Abyss is a place that we go in order to merge with our other selves, in order to go deep into the recesses of our subconscious, into the shadow self, into the darkness, in order to ignite the light, to regain our power. So in this episode, we will talk about love is not something that we do, it is what we are. So that we can understand who we are and how to return this love back to ourselves as we walk through our journey. Because our entire lives, we've been trained to give our love to other people and reserve none for ourselves. So we fine-tune ourselves so that other people can love the parts of ourselves that we think that they want. So when we meet a man, we ask the man, what kind of woman do you like? And as we meet a woman, we ask her, what type of man do you like? Because we are constantly trying to fine-tune ourselves to be something that they desire. So now, what we have to understand is that people love the parts of ourselves that we want them to know. And we love the parts of them that they want us to know as we continue to date them. So then holidays come about that also, you know, influences this behavior as we observe Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day is one of those holidays where we feel empty inside if we cannot provide love for someone else. We feel empty inside if we do not have someone else to provide love for us. So the extension of our love is based on giving it away. So now when we engage in this particular holiday and we have made all these plans and all these arrangements to provide love and to provide happiness for someone else and none for ourselves. So now as I examine the individual and I ask them and I say, have you ever been to a 5-star restaurant? And they go, no, I've never been. And I say, have you ever been, you know, to Mexico? And they say, no, I've never been. So then I ask, why are you willing to take me if you have never done it for yourself? So all these things that we are doing for other people, we have never done it for ourselves. We have stripped ourselves of that satisfaction to be able to work harder for other people to extract that energy from us. So then when we do not receive the expectations of this love, it ends in bitterness, longingness, and resentment in our personal lives. Because there are consequences to love that we have to understand. Well, people say, how can there be consequences to love? Because any energy given must be returned back to us. That must be the understanding. So this energy of alternate and direct current, it's a relationship of love. If you plug the microwave into the wall, the microwave gives this energy. And the source gives this energy back. And that is the relationship of love that we have. One of the most remarkable things that the De Beers ever did was associate the diamond with love. So you have to understand how powerful that is. The ability to associate the diamond with love. That means based on the size of the diamond, it's based on how much I love you. Based on how small the diamond is, it's based on how much love I lack for you. So you must understand the programming of the person perceiving love outside of themselves. And one of the things that we have not trained ourselves to do before we engage in other relationships with other people is to create our own happiness. So what it is, or what is it about this happiness that most people have to understand? That no one is responsible for making you happy. No one is responsible for your happiness. And this is a hard reality for most people to accept at this time. Any man that comes into your life, any woman that comes into your life is an extension of your happiness. They are not responsible for making you happy. You must find a way to be happy, and anyone that comes into your life is an extension of their happiness. Very important. This is why the first relationship that we have must be with ourselves. We must have a committed relationship with ourselves. We must be obedient to ourselves. We must be obedient to our feelings. And we must give the love and the service to ourselves before we extend it to other people. That way there is no conflict when other people come into our lives. Because now we have experience, the ability to be vulnerable in our own lives. We have to accept vulnerability. And what most people do not understand is vulnerability is not for other people. Vulnerability is for yourself. It's the ability to tell the world to accept you as you are. It's the ability for you to accept you as you are. It's the ability to dress how you feel. It's the ability to exist how you feel without the validation of other people. You must be able to validate your own feelings. That is what is important. Vulnerability allows us to have a deeper connection and to love people properly. This is what it does for us. You know? So, as we become more connected with ourselves, we will create a high sense of empathy because we treat ourselves well. And empathy is the real emotional connection. It is the connection that we need in order to be able to share our heart space with other people. But empathy is powerful because what it does is allows you to place yourself in another person's heart space. Because at that moment, you feel what they are feeling. So therefore, you understand how you want to be treated. You understand how they want to be treated. So you do not give out certain behaviors. You do not say certain things or emit certain words or certain emotions or certain energy to people that can damage their heart space. So empathy is the connection that we really need. But this only comes about when we move closer to our light. So what is this light that we are talking about? This light is the love. It's the pure energy of the soul. It is what we are. It is the spiritual force that is expressing itself through our heart space. It is the I, it is the being of who we are. So when we go through our relationships, we say things like, "Someone crushed my soul." Now, why would someone say you crushed my soul? Not my flesh, but my soul. Because so much pain, so much energy gets extracted from the soul that it loses its power, it loses its light, and it goes black, void of light. And that soul, which is our light, now we experience it as depression, we experience it as pain, we experience it as longing. And then people look at you and they also say, you know, that's a lost soul. Because as the soul loses energy, it has to be picked up by another source. So the body picks up the lostness, the depression, the longing. And then we can see it in the flesh of the body. We can see it in the way you walk. We can see it in you losing weight. We can see it in your tears. We can see that the soul has gone dormant, the soul has gone black, and you're experiencing nothing but darkness, pain, low vibration. And this love has to be returned back to the heart. Because what we have to understand about the heart is that the heart is the real brain. The heart is where everything is being stored. 40,000 neurons going through the heart, transmitting back and forth information. The heart has this electromagnetic field, and this magnetic energy is the all experiencing itself through everything and everyone. And that's why it feels so good to fall in love. That's why it feels so good to make connections with other people, because the all is trying to connect through the unifying relationship of love. So that's why when people say things to us, we say, "I feel like I'm in love. I feel good." Because everything is stored here in the heart. Or people say, "I feel you." And then if you ask people, "Did you have a talk with your girlfriend or your boyfriend today?" They say, "Yes, we had a heart to heart." Because everything is in the heart. And the heart emits its feelings, its energy out to people. And that's why when we hug people, they feel so good. And we feel so good. Because this is the real brain. So if I ask someone, "Do you know this song?" They say, "Yes, I know this song. I know this song by heart because it is in the heart where everything is happening. So we must understand certain things about ourselves. To love ourselves by tapping into our own emotions and validating them by going within our own minds and feeling confident about who we are and doing the things for ourselves that we are hell-bent on doing for other people. This is very important. We have to make a connection with ourselves. So, as we walk this journey, we must understand that people are only treating us how we treat ourselves. It's very important because the world is a reflection. Everything is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. So every relationship, every person that comes into our life is a reflection of how we feel about our own selves. So now when we attract abusive and narcissistic people, we are attracting people who are giving us a reflection about things that we need to repair about our inner selves. So what is it about our inner selves that we need to repair? Some of us are emotional dumpsters, right? Some of us are codependent. We have the ability to give out more love than we will ever receive in a lifetime. So we have to remove ourselves from these sicknesses. We have no boundaries. We have no self-love. So now we get abusive boyfriends. Abusive girlfriends. We get narcissistic relationships. And if you do not repair the lesson and ask the question, and what is the question that we need to ask ourselves? Why did I choose this timeline? Why did I choose this relationship? Because what are we trying to figure out? How to become better versions of ourselves. Every mistake we make in life is the ability to implode on ourselves in order to access a better or a greater version of ourselves. One thing that's remarkable about our divinity is that we do not have to remain in the same codex. So whoever you were when you were 15, you do not have to remain that person. Whoever you were when you were 30, you do not have to remain that person. You have the ability to become a greater being, to become a higher vibratory mind. So you can change who you are, but you have to understand the reflections first. And until you work out this personal karma, because see, one of the greatest misunderstandings is that the karma is not for them, it is for you. So you will repeat the cycle until you repair something about yourself and make the metamorphosis and make the transformation. Dive deep into the self-reflection of yourself in order to change the out of reality, because it is the inner form that changes and creates the out of reality. And once we transform, then we move to a different state of consciousness. We move into a higher dimension of consciousness. We vibrate on a higher state of light. We gain more of our power. If you walk into a building and it's black in the building, someone will say, "Turn on the power." Now, why would someone say, "Turn on the power"? Because light is equivalent to power. So when we turn on our light, when we turn on our love, we turn on our power. And this is what we have to do. Turn on our light, turn on our power. And it has to come through self-validation. being okay and accepting who we are, being in service to ourselves, being committed to our feelings, to our own thoughts, right? This is the masculine and the feminine principle of the mind. The subconscious, which activates, the conscious, which creates. We have to create new energy in the mental wombs of our minds. So it is very important to understand that we are responsible for our own happiness and no one else. I welcome you here, family. I welcome you to process and understand your journey as we continue to dive into the abyss of our minds, into the abyss of our emotions, to shed the flesh of our old selves and become powerful deities as we stand on our square and become the generators, the creators of our lives, to become the operators in control of our lives, and to become the destroyers of our reality. Thank you for listening, and we will be back again to dive deep into the abyss of this reality. I digress.